stand, please.
Oyez, oyez, oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court. Be seated, please. Case number 08-3048, United States of America versus Francisco Martinez, also known as Francisco Martinez Rodriguez, appellant. Ms. Shaner for appellant, Mr. Bounds for appellee.
Good morning.
Good morning, members of the court. On behalf of Francisco Martinez, I request that in light of the incorrect facts that were before the sentencing judge at the time of sentence, that this court remand the case to Judge Bates so that with the correct information, he may fairly and accurately resentence Francisco Martinez. Mr. Martinez grew up in Cuba and was the nephew of one of the musicians in the Buena Vista Social Club. He grew up as a musician, came to the United States where he became a drummer and a guitarist in a band, and unfortunately also became addicted to cocaine. That resulted in his arrest, his early plea, and his sentence. At sentence, Judge Bates, in evaluating all the factors that were placed before him and based on the sentencing guidelines, sentenced Francisco Martinez to 46 months in prison with the special condition that he participate in the 500-hour drug treatment program, which would benefit him in two ways. One, he would participate in a good therapeutic program, and two, the result of successful completion is 1 year off his sentence, which would bring...
Is there any evidence in the record that Judge Bates was concerned about the latter factor?
Yes.
Where is that?
In the transcript, he talks about his drug use and refers him then at sentencing to the 500 hours drug
right,
treatment program.
To benefit him for the drug treatment program, but is there any evidence that Judge Bates thought he should be in the program in order to earn a shorter sentence for earlier release?
Not specifically, yeah. Your Honor.
Isn't that,
that is a
problem for you?
No, Your Honor, oh. Because I believe the judges are adequately informed by the probation officers about all the benefits of whatever sentencing program they place them in. And this specific probation officer, Michael Siegel, was in fact a psychologist who had worked for the Bureau of Prisons. And we don't have access to the discussions of the probation officers before the sentencing court comes in, but we do know that the probation officers meet with the judges in chambers. So I believe Judge Bates, who has been on the court for some time, would clearly have that information.
Yeah, I've never heard that we should base the decision on an assumption that the judge was told something in chambers by the probation office.
The judges do have information from the probation officers and from training that may or may not appear in the transcript.
No, I don't have any doubt that Judge Bates knew that early release was possible. I was just asking you whether there was any evidence that that was the reason why he recommended him for the program. That was all.
No, Your Honor. Yeah. There's nothing specific. The record is very limited. May I continue?
Sure.
Okay. This placed Mr. Martinez between a rock and a hard place, because since the pre-sentence report had the erroneous fact that there was not an immigration detainer in his file, well, there actually was, Mr. Martinez was precluded from participating in the 500-hour program by the Bureau of Prisons rules. He could not either get the program or the reduction of sentence. On the other hand, because the parties and the court, the sentencing court, relied on the fact that there was no detainer, he was not awarded by the court, nor did the probation office recommend the Smith departure, which is almost uniformly...
You just said the district court relied on the fact that there wasn't a detainer.
No, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Then I misheard you. Sorry.
The pre-sentence report stated incorrectly that there was no detainer.
Okay. I thought you said the district court relied on that.
No, the district court at sentencing believed there was no detainer,
right,
which would have permitted Mr. Martinez to enter the...
But he knew he was an excludable alien.
The pre-sentence report indicated that Mr. Martinez, as a Cuban...
No, the district judge warned him at the plea that he was a deportable alien.
That's correct, Your Honor. But
Judge Bates knew that.
The State Department does not deport Cubans. And the information in the pre-sentence report was that Mr. Martinez was a United States registered resident and would be returning to the community. That was what the pre-sentence writer had gotten from Homeland Security, ICE, and that was the information. So the judge was incorrect based on the information within the pre-sentence report. Cuban aliens are treated differently than other aliens, but because there was a detainer in this case, all the disabilities attached to Mr. Martinez.
You agree, I assume, that the standard is plain error?
Yes, Your Honor.
And under our precedence, doesn't that mean that the pre-sentence report's factual findings have to be, I think we've said, internally contradictory, wildly implausible, or in direct conflict with the evidence the sentencing court heard?
I read that in sorrow, but I think this is a unique and finite kind of error. This is more similar to the situations where the DEA says the product is heroin, and later on it's determined that all the parties relied on an incorrect fact because it was cocaine, and that would have resulted in a different sentence had they had the correct analysis. Or I had another case where the government thought it was crack cocaine, and after sentence and after incarceration, they discovered it was powder cocaine that had gotten wet. And the United States Attorney's Office came forward and went back for resentencing to get the correct a result. Because when the court relies on inaccurate information, and Sorrow also says that courts are expected to rely on the information in pre-sentence reports because they get it from law enforcement, and that was exactly the kind of error this was. This was a situation where...
But that's also why we, district courts, expect the defense counsel to object or to raise a concern if there's something in the pre-sentence report that's problematic.
But this is a little different, Your Honor. This is information similar to information from the DEA. This is information from ICE that went to the pre-sentence writer and then to the court, and it's the kind of information where all parties should be able to rely. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Bounds? You've had a busy week.
It's true. Good morning. May it please the court. Ryan Bounds, United States. I'm joined at council table by Gregory Marshall, who is the prosecuting assistant U.S. attorney before the district court, as well as Elizabeth Crosman, who is deputy chief of the appellate section of the U.S. attorney's office. As Judge Tatel zeroed in on very early in this oral argument, the issue is really whether Judge Bates betrayed any sign of relying on the factual error that admittedly existed in the pre-sentence investigation report. And as the oral argument has so far disclosed, there's absolutely no basis for making that inference. And as the plain error standard would require that inference to be made at the very least before the court could even get to the fourth step of the Olano consideration of factors to return this case to the district court, the United States would ask that this court dispense with the inevitably fruitless exercise of sending this back to the district court for reconsideration. Just a couple of factual things I wanted to flag for the court. First, with respect to the suggestion that perhaps the probation officer had indicated something that is not in the record to the judge before sentencing, the court should be aware of the fact that the pre-sentence investigation report did not include a recommendation that this defendant participate in the 500-hour drug treatment program. So the inference that there is some discussion about what the benefits of that program would be before sentencing is particularly far-fetched in this case. And so with just that particular notation, as well as the fact that the ICE detainer that is at issue here was filed by ICE before sentencing, but may be removed at any time. And certainly, even if it did not exist at sentencing, could have been imposed at any time, counsels against construing this record to suggest that the district court relied on the existence of an ICE detainer at sentencing. So if there are no questions from the court, the United States would ask that the sentence be affirmed.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Since the record is silent, I would ask that at the least the case be remanded so that the sentence can be clarified, because it seems fairly obvious that a judge with correct information would not have sentenced someone to a program he could not enter, and a judge with correct information would most likely have sentenced him if he understood there was a detainer, to include the Smith departure, which is a recognized departure for individuals with detainers because of the hardships of incarceration, which Mr. Martinez is suffering, which is they don't get the last 6 months in the halfway house. He can't participate in educational programs or treatment programs at the Bureau of Prisons. He can't get, of course, the early release, and he's held at a higher security level. Judge Bates, had he had the correct information before him, clearly would not have sentenced him to a program he could not enter. And I think at the least, since the judge did not write an opinion and the transcript is not clear on its face, we should send this back, because it seems from the facts that this was a procedural error that prejudiced Mr. Martinez greatly. At this point, he'd be ready to be released to the halfway house had he been permitted to enter the program. And it seems, based on the facts, that Judge Bates would not have sentenced him to the sentence he did, but for the incorrect information in the pre-sentence report. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Shaner, you were appointed by this court to represent the defendant. We thank you for your assistance.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Mm-hmm.